Turn to Acts chapter 2. I think, as you probably know, we've been doing a series called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality over the last months. And this really is the last step. The culmination, if you like, is this developing. It's called in the book a rule of life, but we don't really like that word. People don't like rules, unfortunately. But they like way of life, and this is what it's about, finding a way of life. God's really spoken to us this morning, and just want those things to be kept in your mind. I don't want them to be lost. It was good just to spend that silence after Ruth had finished. This is something we've been talking about as well in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's practicing the presence of God and finding those times of silence in such a busy, noisy world. And it's really good when we have those. So let's read from verse 36. And we know this part of the Bible. This is where the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and Peter gets up and addresses the people. And he's finished there, and he says, "Therefore," in verse 36, "let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to the number that day. And those that were added to the number that day, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he needed. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Yeah, so what does it look like, this way of life that we want? You know, this is me. This is me. What matters to me? What motivates me? This is you. What matters to you? What motivates you? I can't do that. You can only do that for yourself. And this is us. OCF. Who are we? How are we seen and how are we known collectively in the community, amongst those who know us, those who may have heard of us? Our way of life. What's our way of life? What's your way of life? What's my way of life? What's my behaviours and actions like? In the passage we've just read, this was the early church. This was the start. We've had 2,000 years, and it's almost as though we're still starting. Yeah? But we see what they did, and I think we can learn something, and we need to learn something of what they were to what we are. See, it's no good just making up our own rules. And so often we've done that. We've made up our own rules. God's clearly spoken to us this morning that he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But we like to add on and I can do it my way as well. And I'll add a few of my other things. And he's saying, no, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And so what did they do? Did it work? Well, I think it did. Because it says daily people were being added to the church. We're happy if annually we see someone added to the church. Or every once in a while. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want it. I want people daily. You've all got members of your families. I've got members of my family. Associates who don't know the Lord. And I'm desperate for you. Or, well, I couldn't care less, really. I'm desperate for people. So how's it going to happen? It's only going to happen as they see Jesus in you and me. As they see Jesus in our way of living. It's okay in here. It's great in here. You know, we can praise God, and I love it. The roof could come off, and I could stay all day and just do it. It's fantastic. But when we get out there, what's it like? What's our conversation like? What's our language like? The words that we use, the things that we watch, the things that we do, what's it showing to our way of life? So let's look at verse 42. It says this, they devoted themselves. That's a word, devoted. It mattered to them. It really mattered, devotion. Nothing else mattered. And it was God's word that mattered. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. See, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have Bibles. I don't know how many Bibles you've got at home. I've got something like 25 Bibles in various guises at home. I've got Bibles that I've never opened because they were presented to me. I've never opened them. I've got commentaries. I've got all sorts of stuff. Andrew's got a load of stuff he's already left in our house as well. So there's even more. And you're probably the same. How many versions of the Bible have you got on my phone? I can look up loads and loads of difference. It's everywhere. But they didn't have that. They had a few scrolls. We know they had scrolls because Jesus himself went to the temple, didn't he? And he picked up the scroll and he read it, Isaiah 61. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord is now upon me. So they didn't have a lot of this written word that we have. So you can just imagine them. I can just imagine them sat there, Peter, James, and John, listening to their teaching. It must have been unbelievable, mustn't it? It must have been great. Tell us the stories. What was it like on that Transfiguration Mount? What happened? What really happened? What was Jesus really like? What was it like in that boat when the storm came? What happened? Yeah. What did Jesus say about this? Imagine what it must have been like. It must have been electric, mustn't it? We have some dry sermons here, mine included, but it must have been electric, hanging on to the every word of what Jesus said. And they devoted it. Is it any wonder they didn't want anything else? They wanted more. Tell us more, more, more. We want more. They devoted themselves to it. It mattered to them. And you know, every day it's important to us. We talk about this thing called daily office. You've probably heard about it, the daily office. And you know, it's important for us. Now we've got the Bible. And don't ever say you haven't got the Bible, because you've got it. No matter where you go, you've got it. On your phones, on your apps, you've just got it. You've got it here as well, if you don't carry it around with you, even. Because it's a bit big, but you've got it. Everywhere you go, you've got the Bible. But you know, is it part of you? Are you devoted to the apostles' teaching? Are you devoted to God's word? Does it really matter to you? Regularly, and that doesn't mean once in a blue moon, something's gone wrong, what does God say? And I'll get the Bible out. Or I need a bit of a boost, I'll get my Bible out. No. It's daily, a rhythm, a routine, hanging on every word. Sometimes it can be as dry as bones, but it's God's word. It doesn't return to him void. It goes in to this little noggins, and it takes a lot to get it into it. Yeah? And you can pick up the Bible and read something you've read loads and loads of times before and got nothing out of it. And then all of a sudden, God just speak something into you. That's why it's so important. Systematic reading of the Bible is so important. It can feel like, oh, I've got to read 6 chapters today. And it can be like dry bones if you're reading Leviticus or something like that. You know, it can be heavy going. But something comes in because it's God's word. We need to do it, guys. It's important. It really is important. You know, would you start the day and go out to work without having a wash? None of us would leave the house, I hope we wouldn't anyway, without having a wash. Yeah. And the Bible talks about being washed in the Word. Washed in the Word. Are we washing ourselves in the Word? Can I just encourage you, if you're not already doing it, before you leave the house, spend some time in God's Word. It might only be a few moments. I mentioned this app a few months ago called Lectio. You can get it. It's a 24/7 app. Lectio 365. You can pick it up. It's an app. I've got it on my phone. If you need it, you'll find it. Search for it. That's just one. But there's lots of others. You can just go on and you can get God's Word in a second. It only takes 5 minutes. Probably most of you, not me anymore, but most of you are probably getting up. Oh, good heavens, I've overslept. Got to have my breakfast. Got to get washed. Got to get out. I'm going to be late. Yeah. Can I just give you a tip? Set your alarm half an hour earlier. Make it something you want to do. It's got to be deliberate, because we all like to lie in bed, but you've got to deliberately do it. And you'll benefit by it if you do it. Devote yourselves to God's Word. It's so, so important. I know some of you listen when you go into work on your cars and stuff, you can do that. That's great. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something about making it first, making it the first thing you do. That daily office, that first thing. The daily office talks about us making 2 minute silence. And that's hard at first. 2 minutes seems like forever. But when you've been doing it a little bit, it flies. And it's really good to connect with God and say, I'm not thinking about what I've got to do today. I'm not thinking about all that thing I've got to face at work or the things I've got to face in the home. I'm just concentrating on you, Lord. What are you saying? Who are you? And God will meet you. But it's got to be something deliberate. You've got to want to do it. And, you know, it's just something you've got to do. And I don't know how you do it, but somehow you've got to do it. Maybe put something on your phone to remind you. And say, yeah, I'm doing it every day. It's going to be there. And make it happen. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Yeah. To fellowship. You see in that passage there, it mentions together three times. Together they did had everything in common. Together they met in the temple courts. Together they ate with glad and sincere hearts. That's what fellowship is, guys. It's together. It's unity. It's commitment. It's a deep love. You see, it's not OCF Club. We're called OCF Fellowship, Ormskirk Christian Fellowship. Yeah, and that's what we are. We're a fellowship of believers who come together. No lone rangers. You can't survive on your own. So many people I've met down the years say, well, I don't go to church now, or every now and again. You cannot survive. You cannot survive. God meant for us to be together. They needed to be together, those early disciples. We need to be together. That's why church 10:30 on a Sunday morning is so important. We need each other. I need you guys. You might think it's all right for you, Dave. You can manage. I can't. It breaks my heart when people don't come. It really does. It breaks my heart because you're my family. Fellowship together. We need each other. I need to hear what's going on in your life. How's things going? What are you doing? You know. What's going on? How can we help? How can we support? It's so important. And so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, God's word, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. That's communion. You know, guys, that's our identity. It identifies who we are. Communion identifies who we are. See, we're ransomed people. We're healed people. We're forgiven people. We're saved people. And we celebrate that when we do communion. I was almost going to do it again today, but just didn't get around to it. When we do communion, that's what we do. We're celebrating who we are in Christ. That's why it's so important. I know our Roman Catholic friends, they do it every time. That's all they do when they meet Mass. That's what it is. You know, and it can be just a going through the motions thing. But at the same time, not knocking that. It also is, if it's real, it's precious. Yeah? It's vital, and we need to do it more. We need to do it more. With our family, even. Yeah? Have you broke bread in your home with your family? Do it. Why not do it today? Whatever you're having. You know, if you're having beans on toast, keep another piece of toast and pass it round. Do it. It symbolises what we are in Christ. We broke bread in Wetherspoons. We did it a few weeks ago. Just someone got a piece of toast and we just got some fruit juice off the thing and we broke bread together. Why not? In a public place, do it. That's what the disciples were doing. And we don't stand up on a big parade. We just do it together. And because it symbolizes who we are in Christ. It's important. They broke bread together. And to prayer. What more can we say about prayer? It's just so vital. I was just listening to one on the radio as I came in this morning. We're talking about prayer and saying that the disciples fell asleep. Jesus went up and prayed, didn't he, in the garden. The disciples, we're knackered. He said, I'm going to pray. And Jesus went praying. Yeah, Jesus is praying. I don't know how much time you spend in prayer, but can I just encourage you? Prayer is so important. You know that. I'm telling you now to do stupid things, but sometimes we don't. We don't. Only in an emergency. Oh, I need you, Lord. And we're on our knees. Prayer is so important. The piece of paper that Mike did about when we were doing the 100 days prayer, I don't know if you still got it. I've got mine. And it was each day items to pray for. I don't know if you're still doing that. But I'm still doing that. And it's a good reminder that you just get it out and you see, what am I praying for today? And it might be the persecuted church. It might be governments. It might be family and friends. It might be unsaved loved ones. One's for OCF and Ormskirk. Yeah. So each day, just focus on what you're praying for as well as your own things. It's important that we pray publicly. It's so important that we pray publicly. And I don't want anyone to take offence, but hear this. This week we had prayer for the nation. We advertised it over all the churches in Ormskirk. How many people were there? How many? 200? No. 10 people. 10 people. Now, I know we've all got busy lives. We're all doing busy things, and that's great, and you've got reasonable. But if 10 people are only going to come out of the whole of Ormskirk, I think we've got a bit of a problem. And it's time, guys, to stir ourselves and say, come on, guys. We need to pull our socks up. We need to get going. There's a lot of pressure coming on the church. Whether you feel it or you know about it, just read the press. See what's going on. Read the BBC website. There's a lot of pressure coming from a lot of minorities. Yeah. And the church is almost getting squeezed. But as it gets squeezed, you know what's going to happen, don't you? It's going to go vroomph. And I want to be part of it. Do you? Yeah. Yes. Amen. I want to be part of it. So come on, pray publicly, together, individually, privately. And what was the results? This is what I like. Was this a waste of time? Reading the Bible, listening to the apostles, breaking bread, praying together. No. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Signs and wonders. I just long for signs and wonders. You know, and I keep going back to when I was a young child. I can remember it in the Philharmonic Hall. Just seeing at the front of the Philharmonic Hall, crutches, wheelchairs, you name it, it was just piled high. You couldn't get near the stage. An evangelist came and he was there for about 6 weeks. And I remember I was just there. I must have been only 6, 7, 8, 9. We used to go. It was every night. And it was just unbelievable. People were running up and down the aisles. And it was just amazing what God was doing. Guys, that was in the 60s. Oh, no, it was in the 50s. Sorry, I'm getting old now. That was in the 50s. God is still the same. Does your heart not long for signs and wonders? It, mine does. It just longs for it. Just come. So signs and wonders, I want it. A common purpose. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had a need. Yet needs met. Guys, I don't want anyone in OCF to be short of anything or need anything. That's why we're together as a family. To help each other, to support each other, yeah? To be together. And so, as family, that's what we are. If my children haven't got the bottle to come to me and say, Dad, we need something, there's something wrong, yeah? And I know it can be embarrassing at times, but guys, I'm just giving you an open ticket, right? To say, look, if you've got a need, ask. And not every time it might be, yes, here we are. But if we possibly can, we will. And we're great at doing that as a fellowship, aren't we? How many times has somebody said, could we help this family over there? They're not even part of OCF. And we respond. So how are we going to respond if you've got a need? We're going to help if we possibly can to support you. Because that's what we are. Together, we need each other. And I don't know whether I might need you, you know? And I need you as much as you need me. It's only for you, Dave. You've got everything all together. You're retired, you know, everything's comfortable. No, 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 I've got issues as well. I need God every day as much as you do. I'm not alone. I don't want to be on my own. I can't do it. So needs were met. Needs will be met. And what else happened after that? Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread. And that doesn't necessarily mean breaking bread communion. It means eating as well together there. They ate together. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of God's people. So praise and worship was there. Wasn't it great this morning, praise and worship? I could do that all day. It was fabulous. The band and the worship and just lifts your spirits. Let me encourage you to worship God. Put some praise music on and worship God. We've got a new speaker at home and we can, you know, Bluetooth thing. We wanted one for a long time and I'm only just getting used to using it. But I can put my music on a full blast. Sadly, you won't believe what the song is I put on a full blast. It's not a worship song, but it gets me dancing. It really does. But I love putting music on as well, worship songs. Yeah, so let me encourage you in that, to lift your spirits in praise and worship. And then it says there, yeah, and they enjoyed the favour of all the people. We are a people of favour, yeah? Might not appear that way sometimes, but God sees what we do and favour comes. Don't be surprised if you get promotion in work. If you're living your life for God, don't be surprised if you get promotion. Yeah? I'm not saying you always get promotion. You get knockbacks. I've been given the elbow. I know what it's like to get the elbow. But I also know what it is to know God's favour and get promotion. We see it in the Bible. It's through Scripture. So don't be surprised if God doesn't open doors for you and provide for you and you find favour. Sometimes undeserved favour. But God's favour is upon you. And that's for individuals. But it's also us collectively as God's church. And we're seeing that. Collectively, we see it with street pastors. We see it with school pastors. Community saying, thank you very much. You're doing a great job. Are you all from the church? Yeah. Don't be surprised when we see the favour of man upon us because of what we do. Churches are doing so much in the world and in our country that never gets spoken of. It never makes the news headlines. Never makes the news headlines. All the junk hits the news headlines. The church is doing so much in food banks, debt advice, supporting families, doing amazing things. And that's because the favour of God is upon us. So for the favour of God. And God added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's the bit I want. Yeah, that's the bit I want. I'm just longing for people to come. Longing for people to come to the Lord and find him. Turn their lives around. So guys, it's up to us. If this is what we really want, what are we going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? What's my priority? Is it God's word? If it isn't, then come on, guys, let's do it. Get to know it, recite it, learn it. Learn passages out of the Bible. I can still recite verses that I learned when I was a child. Start the children early reciting passages. We used to do that. We used to go through whole books of the Bible and learn it. You know, each one would learn a chapter each. I remember for GCE, I learned Isaiah 53 for me GCSE verbal, whatever they call it. I don't know what they call it now. I failed it, I think, but anyway. But never mind. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, so learn the scripture. And you'll never forget it once it gets into you. Coming together, praying, listening. The only thing I haven't mentioned is Sabbath. This is something that is very important in what we've been doing, is finding that time of Sabbath to do something different, to rest and do something different. And we've tried a little bit to try and do that and say, yeah, we'll just do something different. Go somewhere different. Go and have a coffee somewhere different, maybe. And it's not easy because life pressures in on you, but unless you actually say, I'm going to do it, it doesn't happen. And it's something I've got to learn. But there's benefit. That's why God created and said rest. We know the world's 24/7, but God isn't 24/7. I don't mean that. I mean he is, but you know what I mean. All I'm saying is in what you're doing, rest is important. So can I just encourage you in that? Maybe it means you put your laptop down. You don't answer the phone. Unless that's a pain of a thing, isn't it? One of my struggles. Leave it alone. Yeah. But let me encourage you in Sabbath. And all I can say to you is start today. Just do it. Whatever tools you need, just find them and do it. And just spur each other on. Maybe you've got a partner. We've got something we've introduced in School Pass and Street Pass is prayer partners, where people are spurring each other on. Get into a relationship where you can get to with that person and say, how's things with you? When you can open up your heart and just say, look, I'm struggling a little bit with this. I've had a bit of a difficulty with that this week. Can you help me? Spur each other on. Use text or phone or meet together. But we need each other to spur each other on and encourage one another. And when we do, we find that way of living, then amazing things are going to happen. Yeah. Let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the example, Lord, of these early believers, Lord. And Lord, if this isn't just a story, it's the truth, Lord, of the start of your church. And Lord, we've fallen short a long way. Lord, we want to come back as we've been hearing today, Lord. We want to restore, Lord. We want to come back, Lord, to what you want us to be. And Lord, I just pray you just help each one of us. And I know, Lord, when we go out of here with the best intentions, something will come up and we'll forget about it. But Lord, I pray you'd bring it back to our minds. Your word, fellowship, prayer. To make a difference, Lord, to find that favour in the world. And Lord, yet we want to see souls saved. I pray, Lord, today for souls to be saved, for people to come into a living relationship with you. Just lift up somebody now who's on your heart. God, just put somebody in your mind now. Lift them up and say, Lord, I want them to be saved. Whether it's a family member or a work colleague, say, Lord, bring that person in. Bring them in. Jesus' name.